जया कुंज बिहारी जय राधा मां। जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा वनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज बिहारी जय राधा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे 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 रामा Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radha Vrindavan Bihari Radhe. Jaya Mahaprabhu Jaya Mahaprabhu Jaya Mahaprabhu Jaya Mahaprabhu. Nita Gaura Haribol, 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 Nita Gaura Haribol, Nita. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad. Jaya Jaya Gurudev 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayen నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా. భగవతీ ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణో సుధామోపగతే ధర్మజ్ఞానాదిభి సహ కలౌ నష్టాదృశామేషా పురాణార్కో దినోదితః. సో టుడే విల్ బి రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 5 చాప్టర్ 10 టెక్స్ట్ 21 అండ్ 22. దిస్ ఇస్ యాక్చువల్లీ ద చాప్టర్ వేర్ మహారాజ్ రఘుగణ మీస్ జడ భారత్. సో ఐల్ రిసైట్ ద సాంస్క్రిట్ వర్స్ అండ్ దెన్ యూ క్యాన్ రిసైట్ ఇట్ ఆఫ్టర్ వర్డ్స్. దృష్టాశ్రమా కర్మత ఆత్మనో వై భర్తుర్గంతుర్భవత చానుమన్యే యతా సతో దాన యానాది అభవాద్ శమూల ఇష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గా. దృష్టాశ్రమా కర్మత ఆత్మనో వై. ఇస్ ఇట్ ఆడబుల్ ఇన్ ద బ్యాక్? భర్తుర్గంతుర్ భవత చానుమన్యే యతా సతో దాన యనాది అభవాద్ శమూల ఇష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గా. ఎనీబడి వాంట్స్ టు రిసైట్ దృష్టాశ్రమ కర్మతో మనో వై. భర్తుర్గంతుర్భవతశ్చానుమన్యే యతా సతో ధాన్య యానది అభావత్ సమూల ఇష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గా. ఎనీవన్? దృష్టాశ్రమ కర్మత ఆత్మనో వై. భర్తుర్గంతుర్భవతశ్చానుమన్యే యతా సతో ధాయనాది అభవాన్ సమూల ఇష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గా. దృష్టాశ్రమ కర్మత ఆత్మనో వై. భర్తుర్గంతుర్భవతశ్చానుమన్యే యతా సతో ధాన్య భవాన్ సమూల ఇష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గః. ఎనీవన్ ఎల్స్? మాతాజీస్? దృష్టాశ్రమ కర్మత ఆత్మనో వై. భర్తుర్గంతుర్భవతశ్చానుమన్యే యతా సతో ధాన యనాది అభవాన్ సమూల ఇష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గా. దృష్టాశ్రమ కర్మతో ఆత్మనో వై. భర్తుర్గంతుర్భవతశ్చానుమన్యే యతా సతో దానయనాది అభావా సమూల ఇష్టో వ్యవహార మార్గా. థ్యాంక్ యూ. దృష్ట, ఇట్ ఇస్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్డ్ బై ఎవ్రీవన్. శ్రమ, ఫటీగ్. కర్మత, ఫ్రమ్ యాక్టింగ్ ఇన్ సమ్ వే. ఆత్మన, ఆఫ్ ద సోల్. Why? Indeed. Bhartu. Of one who is carrying the palanquin. Gantu. Of one who is moving. Bhavata. Of yourself. Cha. And. Anumanye. I guess like that. Yata. As much as. Asatta. With something that is not an actual fact. Uda. Of water. Ananayani adhi. Of the bringing and other such tasks. Abhavat. From the absence. Samula. Based on evidence. Ishta. Respected. Tava avahara marga. Phenomenon. Translation. You have said, I am not fatigued from labor. Although the soul is different from the body, there is fatigue because of bodily labor. And it appears to be the fatigue of the soul. When you are carrying the palanquin, there is certainly labor for the soul. This is my conjecture. You also said that the external behavior exhibited between the master and the servant is not factual. But although in the phenomenal world it is not factual, the products of the phenomenal world can actually affect things. This is visible and experienced. As such, even though material activities are impermanent, they cannot be said to be untrue. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. This is a discussion on impersonal Mayavad philosophy and practical philosophy of Vaishnavas. The Mayavad philosophy explains this phenomenal world to be false. But Vaishnava philosophers do not agree. They know that phenomenal world is temporary manifestation, but it is not false. A dream that we see at night is certainly false, but a horrible dream certainly affects the person seeing it. The soul's fatigue is not factual, but as long as one is immersed in the illusory bodily conception, one is affected by such false dreams. When dreaming, it is not possible to avoid the actual facts, but the conditioned soul is forced to suffer due to his dream. A water pot is made of earth and is temporary. Actually, there is no water pot. There is simply earth. However, as long as the water pot contains water, we can use it in that way. It cannot be said to be absolutely false. I'll just read the translation and purport of the next verse as well. And then we will have some katha and discussions. So text 22. King Rahuguna continued, My dear sir, you have said that designations like bodily fatness and thinness are not characteristics of the soul. That is incorrect because designations like pain and pleasure are certainly felt by the soul. You may put a pot of milk and rice within the fire and the milk and rice are automatically heated one after another. Similarly, due to the bodily pains and pleasures, the senses, the mind and the soul are affected. The soul cannot be completely detached from this conditioning. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This argument put forth by Maharaj Raghuguna is correct from the practical point of view. But it arises from an attachment to the bodily conception. It can be said that the person sitting in his car is certainly different from his car. But if there is damage to the car, the owner of the car, being overly attached to the car, feels pain. Actually, the damage done to the car has nothing to do with the car's proprietor. But because the proprietor has identified himself with the interest of the car, he feels pain, pleasure and pain connected with it. This conditional state can be avoided if attachment is withdrawn from the car. Then the proprietor would not feel pleasure or pain, if the car is damaged or whatever. Similarly, the soul has nothing to do with the body and the senses. But due to ignorance, he identifies himself with the body. And he feels pleasure and pain due to bodily pleasure and pain. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Nilitamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Raghunatha Vishakanvitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dhina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarobhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavana Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So thank you for coming to this Srimad Bhagavatam class. You know, I humbly pray to all the Vaishnava devotees so that I can speak something worthwhile and also for my own purification. So, of course, the context is, as you've been listening, you know, through many weeks, you know, this chapter is meeting of Maharaj Raghugana and Jadabharat. So, in this particular chapter, of course, as you know the story, you know, Jadabharat is actually carrying the palanquin of Maharaj Raghugana, and then he, of course, he's a self-realized, he's a pure devotee of the Lord. I mean, due to some, you know, unfortunate circumstances, you know, he didn't attain perfection when he was the king, Bharat. Now he is born after the birth of being a deer, he is born as Jadabharat. Of course, Jadabharat means, you know, he is, even though he is fully cognizant of his own identity, which is a spiritual identity, which, you know, Prabhupada talks about in this purport very nicely about the difference between me and my car. You know, you have the word ahankar, right? Ahankar is the element which actually helps, you know, which aids in the false identification. It aids in identifying with the body. In fact, you can say the word ahankar as ahang and kar, you know, and then you can translate that as I am my car. Of course, that is on a lighter side. So, and which is true, I mean, we all, of course, you know, this is spiritual knowledge 101. Even though theoretically it's spiritual knowledge 101, it is very difficult to realize this concept that I am different than the body. Of course, some of you may have already realized, at least it's very difficult for me to realize that I am different than the body, I am different than the mind. So, in the purport of 21, so Maharaj Raghuvana actually, you know, he is chastises Jadabharat because Jadabharat is actually, Jadabharat of course is living in such a way that he is completely invested in his internal life. He is not so much invested in the external life. I mean, he barely does what is the minimum necessary thing externally to keep the body and the soul together. And you know, previously we also saw that, you know, he was kidnapped by a group of thieves, and he didn't even try to protect himself, because Mother Kali actually comes out and kills all the thieves and the robbers. So he is completely, you know, divested of, you know, he's not investing anything to his external role as such. Of course, we can also understand why that is so, because he has been bitten by the previous, you know, the incident that happened in the previous life, which is getting attached to a deer. So he is now, you know, not investing so much externally in the role, which we'll talk about, you know, in a minute. You know, there are two kinds of dharma we have. You know, one is external dharma, the other one is the internal dharma. Prabhupada talks about there are two kinds of swadharma. So he is completely, you know, invested only in his internal role as the devotee of the Lord, as the eternal servant of the Lord. So he is actually carrying the palanquin, and then he is ensuring that there is no, you know, he is making sure that he doesn't step on any ant, to make sure there is no karma that he accrues. And then of course, because he jumps here and there, the palanquin is shaking, and then Maharaja Raghuna gets angry. And then, you know, Maharaja Raghuna starts chastising him, you know, you're not eaten properly, do you have any, you know, you have such a stout body, why are you not able to, you know, carry the palanquin properly? So he is chastising him. And of course then, you know, Jadabharat actually then speaks, you know, Atma Tattva Gyan. And then he, you know, gives a lot of instructions to Maharaj Raghuguna. And after hearing that, you know, Maharaj Raghuguna, he immediately realizes that this is not an ordinary soul. So then he starts his inquiry in these sections of verse. Actually, he starts inquiring to Jadabharat, understanding that he is actually a deeply self-realized soul. So this is the section of the verse where he is inquiring to Jadabharat. So in this purport we can see that Srila Prabhupada talks about the Mayavad philosophy, of course, and the Vaishnava philosophy. Of course, there are different worldviews that you can see, you know, among the whole population. Generally, the materialistic worldview is that the material world is all in all. And the material world is, you know, just be, eat, drink and me merry and work hard and play hard. The material reality is all in all. So that is the one worldview, the materialistic worldview, where everything is meant for exploitation. Everything is meant for enjoyment. So that is one worldview. The other worldview is the Mayavad, you know, worldview, where, you know, they, you know, Brahma Satyam Jaganmiti, and Prabhupada alludes to here in the purport that everything, the whole material world, is false. And of course, it's not a very practical philosophy. Then how would you know, if everything is false, then what is the meaning of having any engagement? And what is the meaning of, right versus wrong action, and so on and so forth. Of course, then we come to the Vaishnava philosophy, which is, it's not totally false, but it is not, but it is understood as the material world is temporary in nature. So that is the Vaishnava way of understanding. And because that's, so Prabhupada very nicely explains in the purport that yes, it's a dream. You know, it is not actually our factual reality, in the sense that it's not based on my real identity, which is that I am a soul. But this whole material manifestation is actually based on my interaction and, you know, with respect to my temporary identity. So it is false in that sense, but at the same time, it is real, because I experience whatever I go through in the material world, pain and pleasure, because I identify with the body and I identify with my life situation, then it affects me. So, I either experience pain and pleasure. And that's why it's actually not totally false, but it is temporary. So, let me just... So Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada here talks about the basic knowledge that I am different than the car or the vehicle. Of course, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hrideshu Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudani Maya. But this body is actually a highly sophisticated machine, you know, yantra, that runs on biofuel. And I am seated in this machine made of material energy, and Krishna is actually directing the wandering of all the living entities. And so Prabhupada very nicely explains, you know, the difference between me and my car. Of course, there are many cars. Of course, this is very, you know, it can be experienced. People can experience this in the real world, especially, you know, there are so many new cars, so many new brands that come. Right, I don't know what is the reason, the latest brand in India, right? But back from where I come, you know, there is a lot of fascination for this car called Tesla. You know, that's the real, you know, people now wants to, it's a fully battery operated car, and that's the car they want to go after because that's the modern trend actually. And especially, you know, when the car is new and if you have been meditating, as Krishna says, you know, dhyayato vishyan pumsam, if you are meditating on an object, then you become attached, or when you associate with that meditation, then we become attached to that object. So people really feel, you know, especially if it's a new car and they have been thinking for a long time, I should buy this car when the next opportunity comes or when I get enough money, then they feel really attached to that car. Even though, you know, personally I am different from that car, but I feel a lot of attachment to the car because I have invested my consciousness in that car. I have associated myself with the car. Similarly, how we feel attachment to the body. The root of all attachment to this material world is actually through this body. Right? I'm attached to this body. I'm in long association with this body. I'm very attached to this body. And all the other attachment that comes about in terms of the object or relationship in this world, it actually comes through this body because of the attachment to the body. And that's the whole principle of aham mameti, you know, me and mine. So this whole attachment that comes because of the association with the material objects and through material association in general. So there is a difference between a car and my car. Right? There is a difference. Even there are so many cars, actually, and so many cars, you know, sometimes people unfortunately get into accident or car gets totaled or car gets scratched and so many things happen to a car. But none of, you know, if it's not my car, I'm not affected. But if it's my car, then I get very much affected because I'm attached to it, you know, because of my investment in my consciousness, I'm attached to it. And that's what Prabhupada says, you know, very beautifully says here. Actually, the damage done to the car has nothing to do with the car's proprietor. Actually, with any damage that's done to the car, you know, if you buy a new car and somebody scratches your car, then you feel a lot of pain. You know, and the reason why we feel pain is that because of the association. Similarly, what happens to the body, anything that happens to the body, we feel, you know, pain and pleasure, even though I am different than the body. Because I have invested my consciousness, I've associated, I've closely identified with this body as my identity or designation. That I am a man or I am so and so. And, you know, according to our Varnashram role also, we can identify according to the different designation, we can also identify closely with those designations. And that's what Dhritarashtra showed in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Says Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra, Samveda Yutsavaha, Mamaka, Pandavaschaiva. So he clearly distinguishes, you know, after my sons. And then he didn't say my nephews. He says the sons of Pandu. So he clearly distinguishes between my sons and sons of Pandu because he clearly shows that he has attachment to his sons. Of course, as Prabhupada says, because of this attachment we have with the material objects and based on the bodily concept of life, we have to unfortunately go through the pain and pleasure of the world, the duality of the world that we have to suffer. because of this the bodily concept of life. And of course this just a few verses before, Maharaj Raghuguna asked this question, very interesting question he asks to Jada Bharat. Are you actually a representative of, anybody know from the last verse? He says, are you actually a direct representative of Kapila Dev? And of course, why does he ask that question out of the blue? Are you a direct representative of Kapila Dev? Which means that, there are few things we can understand from that question. One thing we can understand is actually Maharaj Raghuguna is probably familiar with the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. That, because he is familiar with the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev, and he finds very similar teachings when Jada Bharat speaks. Because he sees the teachings between Lord Kapila Dev, the similarity of teachings between Lord Kapila Dev and Jada Bharat, he asks this question, are you a direct representative or you are coming in the lineage of Lord Kapila Dev? And you can see there are, even though, the circumstances and the individuals are different, but you can see there's a lot of similarities between these two sections, where the conversation between Devahuti and Kapila Muni and the conversation between Jada Bharat and, of course, Kapila Dev, and they both start off with the Sankhya philosophy and also they end with the Samam Bonam of, the goal of all the yoga system, which is Bhakti Yoga. So there are some similarities you can see. In fact, in the previous verse, Jada Bharat says, I'm attached to the family. And I don't know what is really good for me. So please enlighten me. So that's what, in the previous verse he talks about. So similarly, you can also see Devahuti also saying the same thing, I'm actually bothered by all these senses actually. And so she says, Devahuti says, in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm very sick of the disturbance caused by the material senses. For because of this sense disturbance, my Lord, I have fallen to this abyss of ignorance. So this is what Devahuti, she actually offers her prayers to her son, Kapila Dev, to enlighten her, very similar to what Maharaj Raghuguna is doing to Jada Bharat. And of course, there's this famous verse where Lord Kapila says, Prasangam ajaram pasham, atmana kavayo vidu, sa eva sadhu sukrito moksha dwaram apavritam. So we were talking about attachment, how the material, of course attachment itself, Prabhupada says beautifully in that purport, of course nobody can be without any desires. We cannot, because as spirit souls it's very difficult to, it's impractical to be desireless, or it's impractical to be without any attachment. But attachment to material things leads to entanglement, it leads to ignorance, it leads to bondage. The same attachment, as Kapila Muni is saying here, the translation of the verse from the third canto is, every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. So attachment can be applied therapeutically. Attachment itself is, as a concept, is not good or bad. It depends on what are we attached to. Like how knife. Knife is not good or bad, but it really depends on who is using it. If a thief is using it, then of course it's going to cause injury to others. It's bad. But if a surgeon is using it, then it's actually going to be used in a very constructive and positive way. So similarly, attachment itself is not good or bad, but where is that attachment? Where have we invested our consciousness? Of course, attachment follows where we have invested our consciousness in. Have I invested my consciousness in my real identity? So if I have invested my consciousness in my real identity, then attachment automatically follows that investment. And what is my real identity? Jivara Swarupahoi Krishna Nitya Das. That I am actually eternally part and parcel of Krishna, eternally a servant of Krishna. If I invested my consciousness in that original identity, then my attachment will follow that. Of course, attachment itself, it will take time. I mean, as a nice example, I heard that, of course, you cannot change that attachment from one sphere to another sphere overnight. But it's like if you take a bottle of ink, which is, let's say, you know, dark gray or, you know, black in color, and if you want to transform that to white in color, then you start adding a little bit of, let's say, white color substance or milk to that ink bottle, then slowly you can see that the shade of that ink will change from black to dark gray to light gray, and then finally after some time it actually become pure white. So similarly, we also have to transfer our attachments that we have to the temporary. It may be to the it may be to the people, it may be to the objects, it may be to the temporary roles that we perform, it may be to the designations that we have. So we may have all attachments in all these different categories. And of course, there is a distinction between there is a distinction between role and identity. So as Prabhupada says, you know, there are two kinds of dharma, swadharma. One is at a material level. The other one is, swadharma is at a material level, which is varnashram dharma. You know, I'm a grihastha, you know, I have this family, this is my wife, these are my kids. You know, I may have other designations, you know, this is my role, you know, these are the departments I take care of. You know, I'm the head of the department here, computer department, IT department at GV. Or I'm the head of the Sankirtan department. So there are many designations, but these are actually roles that we play in this world. But that is different than the identity that we have. The identity is separate. So we cannot confuse the difference between role and identity. So there is a distinction. So role means it's a swadharma on the material platform. Identity means it's swadharma or sanatan dharma. You can say sanatan dharma or swadharma on the spiritual platform. So that is my identity. So I may take on a lot of roles, but I'm not that role. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that in his verse, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Naham vipro nachara narapatir, napi vaishyo nasudro, naham varni nachagrahapatir, na vanasto yatirva, kintu prodhyan nikila paramananda purnamrtambadir, gopir bharthur padakamalayor dasa dasanadas. I am not a brahmana, I am not a kshatriya, I am not a vaishya or a shudra, nor am I brahmachari, a householder, a vanaprastha or a sannyasi. I identify myself only as the servant of the servant of the servant of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. He is like an ocean of nectar and he is the cause of universal transcendental bliss. He is always existing with brilliance. So this is my identity. This is my Sanatan Dharma. This is my Swadharma on the spiritual platform. And this is the identity. This is our real designation. Any other designations or any other identity or for, you know, that we closely associate with or closely identify is going to be shaken at some point as we are going through the material life. Same thing happened to Arjuna. You know, Arjuna, the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, he was going through an identity crisis. He was going through an existential crisis. And why was he going through an identity crisis? Because he was identifying as part of the Kuru dynasty. And because he was identifying, because he had the designation, he was confused. You know, how can I kill my own kinsman? I cannot kill my own kinsman. And so he was going through that crisis. And he was actually, and Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in the first chapter, he says, you know, he is actually reeling under, you know, he is going through an intense crisis right in the middle of the battlefield. He's crying and going through, he's not able to hold his Gandiva bow. It was so intense. Of course, it's very difficult to Imagine such a, you know, some of us would have gone through, you know, some crisis situation like that in our life. But, you know, like for example, you know, maybe, you know, if you have gone through a job interview or attending, you know, kids, of course, those kind of crises are not the crisis that Arjuna is going through. It's really an identity crisis. Why? Because now Krishna has put him in a situation. Of course, he is a eternally associate of the Lord, but Krishna has put him into ignorance so that he can speak the Bhagavad Gita. But why has Krishna put him in this situation? He is basically challenging this temporary designation, this identity, you know. So as we go through in our life, at some point or other, we are going to be challenged of our temporary designations that we have in this world. And Krishna is doing that for a purpose, because he wants us to give that wake-up call so that we can actually go back to understanding about our true identity, which is part and parcel of Krishna, and acting in alignment with the true identity. So Arjuna went through that crisis, and finally Krishna spoke the whole Bhagavad Gita to help him come to the... So Krishna, how did he resolve? So Arjuna said, you know, the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, so on one side I have my Kshatriya Dharma, on other side I have my Kula Dharma, and both are in conflict with each other. And that's what Arjuna was going through, this conflict, and that's why he was so confused. He said, I'm totally confused, you know, what should I follow? Both are actually Dharma in one sense. And so Krishna resolved that by actually doing rising to the spiritual platform, or doing a paradigm shift to the spiritual platform. So that's why we have the morning program. So there is a famous book, actually, I don't know if you have heard about this book, there is a book called 5 AM Club in the West. You know, it's a very popular book. So similarly, we also have a 5 AM Club or 4:30 AM Club, you know, where actually our real focus, what is our focus in this 4:30 AM Club, you know, that we have, the 4:30 AM Club, or the morning program that Prabhupada has devised, does it actually connect with our true identity? It's not the roles, it's not the duties. Of course, I'm not saying that duties are not important, I mean, which I'll come to in a minute, but I'm in no way saying that, you know, one should be indifferent to one's duty. Material designations, I mean, Krishna never said that in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu maam anushmara yudhyacha mayarpito manabuddhir maam evashashya samshayaha. So Krishna never asked us to, you know, be indifferent to our duties or take, you know, look at the material duties in a, you know, inconsequential way. He in fact emphasized quite a bit on the material duties as well, the importance of following the material duties as well. But at the same time, we have to also understand that these are only temporary roles that I'm playing. My real true identity is that I'm eternally part and parcel of Krishna. So that's why that morning program is so important, because it is there to connect to my original identity. The 4:30 AM program is there to connect to my original identity, that I am part and parcel of Krishna. We may be having so many responsibilities. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was actually he was a sannyasi. In fact, he was a very strict sannyasi. He followed the rules and regulations of the sannyas ashram very, very strictly. And we know the pastime of Chota Haridas. You know, he was so strict that he, you know, refused to see, you know, he refused to entertain Chota Haridas, because he actually did not follow some of the some of the rules of the sannyasa ashram, or he basically, you know, he deviated. So, I mean, but that was very, he was so strict with Chota Haridas, and he himself followed, you know, that role to the strict possible, you know, strictest possible way. He actually followed the sannyasa ashram. But at the same time, we have to understand that these are only temporary designations. My real designation, my real identity, is that I am part and parcel of Krishna. And that's why it's very important to do our sadhana also in that sambandha gyan. So when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, of course there are many ways we can I mean, when we do it mechanically, unfortunately, what happens is we are not able to connect to our original identity and we are not able to connect to Krishna. Because chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, you know, it's the Mahamantra is non-different than Krishna. You know, as the Padma Purana verse says, how does it start? Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purna Shuddho Nityamakto Abhinatvam Nama Namino. The holy name is non-different than Krishna. We are associating with Krishna. As much as Arjuna had that association of Krishna, if we are really have that faith that the holy name is non-different than Krishna, then we can also have that association. We can, you know, feel the reciprocation of Krishna through the chanting of the holy names. And when we chant the holy names, unfortunately, when we do it mechanically, then we just, you know, not connecting to our real original identity and as part and parcel of Krishna. So it's very important to have that sambandha jnana when we chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that when we chant with that sambandha jnana, then actually things start to, you know, change. Things start to manifest. Things start to then we experience Krishna's reciprocation. Then we make spiritual progress. So the chanting with an understanding, yes, you know, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Ayi nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam vam vishame bhavamudam kripaya tava pada pankaja sadhuli sadrisham vichintaya. Oh, son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, I am an eternal servitor, but somehow I am fallen to this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and place me as an atamati lotus feet. So we have to chant with that mood, or at least the understanding that I am part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna, I am your part and parcel. I am your eternal servitor, but I am somehow fallen to this. I am not part of this material world. I am not part of this matter. I don't belong to this material world. I am your part and parcel. And the third thing is, this world is a classroom. This world is not a place of enjoyment, but this world is actually a place of reformation. It's a classroom. It's meant to teach me things. So when we chant with this understanding, then actually we can go deeper and connect with our own identity as eternally part and parcel of Krishna. Anyway, those are some thoughts. So Prabhupada talks about here, you know, those points here, the different designations we have, the temporary designations we have on why we feel pain and pleasure, and the different attachments we have. So when we have the process, you know, the Prabhupada has wonderfully given us, you know, this process of devotional service. And as mentioned by Rupa Goswami, you know, the five potent process. You know, you're all so fortunate. You know, I mean, I'm staying for a few weeks here, but I also feel fortunate. You know, we have all those five elements here in GEV. You know, you have the beautiful deities here, the worship of the deity, the association of devotees, and then it's not different than Dham actually, you know, because that's Maharaj's vision. You know, we have the replica of the Vrindavan. It's not different. It depends on the vision. I was reading the quote from Maharaj, and I was just going, you know, the Satsang Bhavan, and then there are many quotes. Maharaj says, you know, when we are anointed with the love for God, then we can see that Vrindavan come alive, you know, at this place. So, if we have the proper consciousness, we can see that this is non-different than the Dham. And of course, you know, even if we are not at that level, at least it's a very serene place. It's filled with Sattva Guna, you know. I mean, I come, you know, from Bay Area, you can see the Rajoguna, you know, the weight of Rajoguna actually. People running here and there and trying to make their end meets, and such a struggle actually. But relatively, you can see it's a very peaceful environment here. But as we advance in our consciousness, the spiritual platform, we can see non-different than Vrindavan. Because Maharaj's mood is, you know, in that fashion. And then there is Bhagavatam, you know, coming together and discussing the Bhagavatam. And then there is chanting of the holy name. And then there is serving the devotees, association of devotees. I mean, what else is there to... So everything is there for us to advance. And other places also, you know, wherever all these things are happening, you know, we have, you know, such a good fortune to an access to such potent devotional methods by which our attachment gradually transfers from material to spiritual, from material consciousness, spiritual consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Thank you for allowing me, thank you for giving your attention and allowing me to speak, and I hope there were a few takeaways for yourself. Are there any questions or comments or reflections? Of course, reflections, anything you like that you want to expand on, or any comments? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sundaranand Prabhu, for a wonderful, very inspiring class, especially on the theme of bodily attachments. So my question to you is, I don't know what role you play there in US, but you are in the corporate world, you do the preaching there, and I'm sure you have, as you said, worldly responsibilities. So in this responsibility, you have to correct someone.
Correct.
Yeah, you have to rectify, correct.
Right.
You know, and they identify you as a preacher also. That they, I'm sure they know your lifestyle, that you are a... So they see you as a person who is a administrator or whoever. So in a situation where you have to correct someone for their mistakes, so how do you handle it?
Thank you for the question, Prabhu. I mean, you are senior to me, so you know the answer. But just for my purification, I'll try to mention a few things. This is the same as, you know, Sanatan Goswami telling, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself. But Sanatan Goswami says, I don't know anything. You know, please instruct me. I don't know what is good for me. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, actually, you know everything. Because Krishna's grace, Krishna's mercy is upon you. But, you know, because you are sadhu, you know, you are doing this inquiry, because that's a symptom of a sadhu, is to inquire. So, I mean, my response to that would be, of course, I would say it's easier to do in the corporate world than to do... I would basically divide this into two scenarios. One is in the corporate world, the other one is in, within devotees themselves. And ultimately, I think it all depends on, it comes down to relationship. What is the relationship we have with the other person? And in the corporate world, there is responsibilities, and also there is accountability. You know, there are ways or process by which the corporate world, they bring in accountability, they tell you what your responsibility is. At the same time, they also, you know, bring in processes that actually, you know, brings in accountability of people. Now, in fact, accountability of people on a daily basis. And that's why there's a whole methodology called, you know, agile methodology, scrum. These are all in IT terms, actually, where, you know, there is a proper understanding of responsibility, a proper division of responsibility, and also these processes that's actually there in the IT world, it brings about one's understanding of responsibility, at the same time it makes one accountable also. So once you follow all these processes in the corporate world, you don't have to do a lot, in the sense that the process takes care of all these things. And because it's a team-wide initiative, everybody knows where everybody is at and what everybody is doing and how much they are being responsible and how much they are being accountable. So these processes, you know, on a practical level, it makes it very easy to bring about that accountability to people. And if there are some mistakes that somebody is going, is committing some mistakes or going in the wrong direction in terms of coming up with a solution for a problem and so on and so forth, then it's immediately visible. Not only it's visible to the person you're reporting to, it's visible to the whole team. So it's not just the manager's responsibility to correct that person. Of course, manager will also have some inputs as to you're going in the wrong direction. Maybe you have to take. It can be both. It can be either a technical problem or a behavioral problem. In both cases, it's bubbled up and visible to the whole team, and everybody gives their feedback. So it's not just one person. I mean, more recently, after the beginning of this methodology has been adopted more and more, and it's very successful. And also at the same time, it's very stressful also, because people now, you're looking at people not as a human being, but as a human doing. Then there is the expectations that you have to be. I mean, it is, probably it's good, and for some people, the expectations that you have to produce every day. You have to be, and it's a high level of accountability in the corporate world, actually, especially in the, and I think it's all India and in the West. So that's one. That's what I would say in the corporate world. In the in the devotional world, it's different. It's all, everybody is a volunteer. Everybody is doing, at least in the community that I come from, ISV, everybody is a volunteer. Everybody is doing as a voluntary service. Nobody is paid or nobody is, all the services are taken care by the congregation itself, as a voluntary service. So there, it's a different dynamics. Because nobody is getting paid, nobody can ask you questions. So there it really, I would say it really depends on the relationship. If somebody is doing something wrong, I would say it really depends on the relationship. If you are close with that person, if the person trusts you, there is a trust between the person. It can be senior, it can be peers, but there has to be trust. There is a working relationship and there is trust. Yes, this person will not, exploit me, or just not finding fault to exploit me. He is actually doing it, in the mood of service. He is doing it for my benefit. If that trust is there, then it becomes very easy. But, of course, to cultivate that trust is going to take some time. So I would say, it really depends on the relationship and the role also. If you are in a role, then you have to do that duty. But if the trust is, and also from the person who is correcting, why am I doing this? There has to be a lot of introspection analysis. And, these are all, famous principles from the self-help. Stephen Covey in his book, he talks about, very useful also in the devotional community as well, he talks about, emotional bank account. Many times what we do is we catch people doing wrong. And then we tell people, no, don't do this. You are wrong. Of course, we can correct people. That's not a wrong thing. But then the idea is you catch people doing right. So Stephen Covey talks about this principle that relationship is like a bank account. If you keep, criticizing or giving feedback or just pointing out the mistake, what happens is there is withdrawal from the bank account. And then what happens is once the bank account goes to a negative state, then the relationship strains. So the idea is to balance between, when somebody, when we catch somebody doing right and appreciate them, then there's a deposit. And then we keep doing that, and then there is a lot of deposit we put, and suddenly we see something going wrong, and then we can correct, and then there is a withdrawal there, but then it's not going to go below a certain limit. So people can actually, they can. So this is true in any relationship. I think practically I would say, of course it has to come from, personally, I would say, if I see something, that's, it can be done in a better way, or you know, it's not done in a proper way, then I actually, you know, approach and then say, you know, probably, you know, this can be done in a different way, or, you know, I think there's limitations here, and, you know, these, if you do it this way, there are more advantages here. So I explain, try to explain it in a different manner. But if the person actually has a better idea, and then he gives us a better understanding and logic, no, no, but you're missing this point here, then the person who's superior should also be, you know, willing to take the correction. So I think it really comes from a place of humility, and of course the other principles that I talked about. Anyway, those are some thoughts. I think the humility is the key. That you know, I can certainly propose certain things, but if the other person, you know, has better idea, then I should be able to accept it as well. I hope that answers your question. Sorry for the long-winded answer.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Sundaram.